නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස කිතාවතාපන බන්තේ ඨානා ඨාන කුසලෝ භික්ඛූති අලං වචනායාති Dear Venerable Brother, Dhamma friends, actually we were discussing Dhatu Kusalata and Ayatana Kusalata and then the Patisamuppada Kusalata and then the Thana Thana Kusalata. So basically here in this sutta called Bahudhatuka Sutta, or literally means many kinds of elements, Buddha paying attention to some four areas basically. So it happened because he warned his followers to be inquirers, his followers to be wise people. Rather than ignorantly following anything, so he preferred his followers to be wise and again inquirers. And everything happened because he made an interesting comment, seems to be after observing the typical behavior of the world. Yani kanichi bhikkave bhayani uppajjanti sabbani thani bhalato uppajjanti no pandituto. Whatever the fears arising in this world, if they are happening because of the men, they will happen because of the ignorant people, not because of the wise people. Similarly, if there are any calamities happen, if there are any problems happen, troubles happen, that all happen because of ignorant people, not because of wise people. So he advised the monks, Pandita Bhavissama Vimansakati Evanghivo Bhikkave Sikkitabhanti. Therefore, monks, you should be wise and you should be inquirers. So that is how you need to train yourself. And at that moment, Venerable Ananda inquires how to be wise, how to be inquiring. The Buddha comes up with four areas that we need to pay attention. Skilled in the elements, skilled in the basis, skilled in dependent origination, and skilled in what is possible and what is impossible. We already discussed the first three related to the elements, basis, and the dependent origination. And there are also the important thing is, it is not a mere superficial understanding. We need to go a little practical point of view. It's necessary to have some theoretical understanding as well, but more than that, we need to practically understand these things. Say for example, in the elements, so how these elements are operating within ourselves and what are their true nature, true behavior. All that needs to be recognized by ourselves using mindfulness, maybe a little bit of concentration, focused attention and balancing of faculties. Then we'll be able to understand the true nature of the elements. So likewise, the nature of the basis and the thorough understanding of the dependent origination. Now the last part is basically some common knowledge that he is asking us to pay attention, and we discussed that to some extent last time. And what is this possible and impossible? So these seems to be kind of dhammata, kind of universal laws. And starting with the what we call an Arya Puggala, a noble person, a Ditti Sampanna Puggala. That means a person with some proper view, correct view. For example, Idhananda Bhikkhu Atthanametang Anamakaso Yang Ditti Sampanno Puggalo Kanchi Sankharang Nichato Upagachaya Netan Thanang Vijjati. So it is impossible, and it is not possible to happen that a person with proper view, right view, could treat any formation as permanent. And similarly, Buddha went on to explain about that it is impossible for such person to take any formation to be kind of pleasurable, and any kind of dhamma, anything as self. And that is related to the understanding about the Ditti Sampanna Puggala, an Arya Puggala. And then he went on about his kind of supreme kind of a sealer. He is now protecting the sealer, so it is impossible for him to kill a mother, father, arahant, and then with the with some mind of hate to shed blood of the Buddha and to have schism between the Sangha and having a different spiritual teacher, completely different faith. It is impossible for a Dittisampanna Pungala to go forward because he is now confirmed, quite assured about the Buddha's teaching. That is how he has gained wisdom. So therefore, it is impossible for him to follow another spiritual teacher. Buddha, he is the only spiritual teacher now he is following. He is so sure about it. He is so sure about the teaching. He is so sure about the Buddha. So basically, he himself is an example of this whole understanding. So therefore, basically, he is unable to go forth with respect to another spiritual teacher. So Buddha is the sole teacher. Now, these are all related to the, still related to Dittisampanna Puggala. That means a person with right wisdom. Now, there are a few more things related to some other worldly matters from the worldly point of view. And one thing is about the Buddha. So it is impossible that within a world system to have two Buddhas at the same time. So only one Samma Sambuddha is possible in a particular world system. So this is one kind of an eternal law. And then it is impossible to have a universal monarch, what we call a wheel-turning monarch, in a two-wheel-turning monarch in a single world system. It's only possible to have just one. And then about the gender, there are a few things now explained. That is, it is possible, it is necessary to be a man, a male, to be a Samma Sambuddha, to be the wheel-turning monarch, to be the Sakka, to be the Mara, to be the Brahma. And these are relevant to the that particular time. Basically, when that person going to be a Sakka, for example, he has to be born as a man, as a male. So actually, the Sakka is happening at the celestial realm. So as a male deity, as a male celestial being, he has to be born. Then only it is possible for him to be a Sakka. Now, it doesn't mean that the these things are unchanging. The gender may change as one is traversing through the samsara. In one life, he may be a man. At another time, she may be a woman. These things are actually changing, varying. So therefore, at a particular time, he is supposed to be the Sakka, for example. He has to be born as a male celestial being. So likewise, we can understand these are kind of laws governed in the world system. And now we come to the last part of this. Actually, that is related to, again, with respect to the sila, the morality part. Atthanametang anamakasu yang kaya duccharitas itto kanto manapo vipaku nibbatteya netan thanang vijjatiti pajanati. It is impossible, it cannot happen, that a wish for desired agreeable result could be produced from bodily misconduct. There is no such possibility. So now it's a kind of affirmation about the karma, that only the wholesome karma would produce the wholesome result, a favorable result, but the unwholesome karma will never produce a favorable result. So here the karma, the bodily actions, verbal actions, and the mental actions are described. The bodily action, if it is unwholesome, it will produce undesired result, a disagreeable, unwished kind of a result. So that, because the action is unwholesome, it's an unwholesome bodily action. So similarly, if someone conducts an unwholesome verbal action, say for example, he is lying, he is into the divisive speech, he is into slandering, using some harsh words, So that particular karma definitely will lead to unwholesome, undesirable, kind of painful kind of a result. So this is a kind of a karma-related theory that Buddha is pointing out. So it is necessary, therefore, to pay attention to what we do and what we tell and what we think. So because we are the ones to be responsible. So there may be a kind of a karmic potency which ultimately gives some fruits, gives some results, and ultimately if one does an unwholesome action, he has to bear the fruits, kind of painful fruits, undesirable fruits. So therefore, it is impossible for this unwholesome, bad mental activity, verbal activity, or bodily activity to produce a desirable result. Instead, they will produce kind of undesired, painful result. So that is one area covered next. The opposite is also mentioned, kaya sucharitas. Atthanametang anamakaso yang kaya sucharitas. Anitto akanto amanapo vipako nimbatteya netanthanang vijjati. So it is impossible, it cannot happen that an unwished for, undesired, disagreeable result could be produced from a good bodily conduct. It is impossible that to happen. Because someone has done a good bodily conduct, for example, say someone is giving a dana, someone is say looking after one's parents, say someone is doing some good activity. So basically a good wholesome activity. He is not killing animals. He is not stealing. Instead, he is trying to protect someone else's properties. And he is not involving any sexual misconduct. So likewise, there are various bodily activities which are more wholesome, correct, agreeable. Then those activities cannot produce any undesirable result. Instead, it is possible that they will result a desirable outcome in the long run in the samsara. Now similarly explained about the vati sucharita and the mano sucharita. That means it is impossible, it cannot happen that an unwished for undesired disagreeable result could be produced from a good verbal conduct, from a good mental conduct. So it is impossible. Because it is possible that is a wish for a desired agreeable result might be produced from good verbal conduct, from good mental conduct. So these things are very much like the base of the Sammāditti. Actually, when we are discussing about Sammāditti, we discussed the worldly aspect of the Sammāditti, what we call the Lokiya Sammāditti, the mundane Sammāditti. There we discussed the karmic part, kammasakata sammaditti. That means we are accepting the fact that the correct bodily actions, verbal actions, mental actions will produce a favorable, a desirable, a pleasurable kind of a result. On the other hand, a misconduct, a bad conduct, an unwholesome conduct, maybe a bodily, verbal or mental, will produce some kind of a bad result, undesirable result, painful result. So kind of a law. And one actually knowing this will slowly give up the unwholesome activities and try to get involved with the wholesome activities. But anyway, this has some kind of a what we call sasava. So there's a little bit of ignorance is involved, because here there is no talk about the non-self, no talk about the vipassana kind of a thing, but here the actions are done as a person with volition. Someone is doing a particular activity, maybe a bodily activity, with his own volition. Now that volitional activities are the ones here actually considered. It is important fact that the Buddha is revealing or pointing out that only the volitional activities bear fruits, not the involitional, involuntary kind of activities, rather the volitional activities. So those are the ones having the karmic potential, not the other things. So therefore, the volitional bodily activity, if it is unwholesome, bad, unacceptable kind of an activity, then it will produce bad result. If it is a wholesome activity, correct activity, right activity, it will produce a favorable result. Now, based upon that, one may have to grow, by the way. So, karma, understanding of karma is one area, but it doesn't mean that you have to be restricted by that forever. So, one has to further grow while being a good person. So, once one establishes oneself in the kammasakata samadhitti, in the proper worldly kind of samadhitti, he has to further enhance his faculties, and he has to step into the supramundane kind of samadhitti. Panya, panyindriyang, panya balang, dhamma vichaya sambojjhangang, samadhitti maggangang. There's a fair wider spectrum is explained related to the supramundane kind of samadhitti. So he has to work on that. It doesn't mean that the karma is there and we are destined to go through it and we are unable to get out of it. We are kind of restricted by that, completely constrained by that. We are basically kind of defeated. Everything happens in a fatalistic way. So that is not the Buddha's teaching. Buddha does not accept that everything happens by karma. Rather, he mentioned it is possible to change a karma, and there are various suttas even for that. But as we just discussed, there are certain very heinous kind of karma which are unable to change. Some, definitely they have to bear fruits, but later that also may fade away. Point is that a noble disciple, will lead to a further level of reducing the karma and not producing karma if possible. So, for example, if one is practicing satipatthana, so he may come up with a solution. So he may find a way to avoid any personal intentional activities. Typically, we being a person, we being an individual, and then perform an activity. But when one practice satipatthana, he slowly step into an area where he is not making a self. If it happen habitually, he is slowly abandoning it, disclaiming it. So ignorantly, he is not making a self. He is avoiding that as much as possible. He is not doing any kind of a conceiving, manyana. So the conceiving, manyana are very much essential for personal involvement, sakkaya ditti to produce. And then if he does activity, it may have some karmic potential because there is a person. Sakkaya ditti is there. So one has involved as a person. But if he is not grasping anything in the world, he is trying to maintain a fairly unassociated mind, still conducting this and various activities which have come towards him, then very much like he is simply moving forward without making a strong ego, without making a strong self. So the actions produced become less and less effective in the sense bearing fruits in the future, because he is doing activities without being a person. Say for example, if one is an arahant, say the Buddha, he has done a lot of activities, bodily activities, verbal activities, mental activities, but they don't have the karmic potential to bear fruits in the future because he is not acting as a person. So the ignorant base is very much like destroyed. So the ignorant base is that I am a person, I am a self, there's an eternal self here, I am an individual, so I am doing this. So that kind of egocentric base is the main thing for karmic potential to produce. when someone is able to abandon that through the wisdom, so the actions are merely actions. Okay, then we can get into the last part. Attanametang anamakaso yang kaya duccharita samangi tannidana tappaccaya kayasa bheda parammarana sugating sangang lokang uppajjaya netan thanang vijjateti pajanati. So now talking about the destination, he understands it is impossible, it cannot happen that a person engaging in bodily misconduct, for that reason, on the dissolution of the body after death, reappear in a happy destination. Even in the heavenly world, there is no such possibility. So that is an interesting point here also. Now, previously we were discussing in general how the action may produce kind of a favorable result, a desirable result. But now it is talking about directly the next birth. Next birth happening in a heavenly realm is not possible for the person who is into the bodily misconduct. So Sugati. Sugati is typically is the human realm and the Deva realms, and maybe we can include the Brahma realms also. So it is impossible for the person who has engaged with bodily misconduct to get a heavenly birth or the birth in the human realm or in the Brahma realm. Instead, he may get into the very below kind of a realm, apaya, duggati, vinipata. That means reappear the state of deprivation in an unhappy destination, in perdition, even in hell. So that may be possible. Because kaya duccharita samangi, so he was engaged with bodily misconduct. So as similar, you can understand the other two, vachi juttacha samangi and the mano duccharita samangi. That means he engaged with the verbal misconduct, he engaged with the mental misconduct. So if someone is engaged with misconduct, basically their appearance because of that particular activity is impossible in a favorable, pleasurable kind of a birth. Instead, they'll be getting to an unhappy destination, a hell realm. The opposite is there about the kaya sucharita samangi, vachi sucharita samangi, mano sucharita samangi. Kaya sucharita samangi, it is impossible, it cannot happen that a person engaging in good bodily conduct could on that account, for that reason, on the dissolution of the body after death, reappear in a state of deprivation, in an unhappy destination, in perdition, even in hell. There is no such possibility. And so basically the idea is, if someone is engaged with the correct conduct, wholesome conduct, a good bodily conduct, good verbal conduct, good mental conduct, so his destination after the death will be always a favorable destination, a desirable destination, a happy destination. Actually, this is the kind of the law that the wholesomeness and the unwholesomeness is considered. And this is what explained in the Chula Kamma Vibhanga Sutta. And in the Mahakamma Vibhanga Sutta, there are a few other things that we can a little bit pay attention. And there are instances sometime people are doing bad deeds, but their immediate rebirth might have happened at a favorable destination. How come it happened? Similarly, there are people who are involved with the correct deeds, but their immediate destination, immediate after death birth, has happened in an unfavorable place. So how it can happen? So there Buddha explained, so during the death moment, this person has engaged with some kind of an unwholesome moment where he remembered one of his bad conduct, and he had a potential to ripe that bad conduct. Even though he engaged with some good bodily conduct during this life, unfortunately that bad conduct has produced the result, which also was having the potential. That bad conduct may belong to this life or to a previous life, even though currently he has tried his best to do something good, there is a little potential that the previous bad conduct also come forward and give the fruits. Similarly, someone with the bad conduct, he was involved with some bad conduct, but accidentally, during the death moment, he was able to remember a good conduct, maybe in this life or past life, and as a result of that, he was born in a favorable place. So likewise, there are certain exceptions related to the karma, but that doesn't mean that the good conduct produces bad result or bad conduct produces good result. That law is the law related to the good conduct producing good result, bad conduct producing bad result is eternal. That is unchanged. That is there. That is confirmed. But during the course of the time, what is coming to one's mind during the death moment and what takes the upper hand, what takes the priority, so there may be a kind of a change. And assume that bad conduct has come into the mind and he remembered that, as a result of that he is born into a hell realm, but he has a lot of karmic potential again to give a good result because he has done many good activities as well. Then his lifespan in this bad destination will be very limited and he'll be born at a good favorable place at a later time. So such instances are there, sometimes explained in the Dhamma. For example, one monk who is more into a desire towards one of his robes, and later he's so attached to that robe, which is given to him, donated to him by his sister, and she is so attached to that robe, and he passed away during that time. By the way, he has a desire towards the robe. So the next birth happened as an insect in that place. And when monks are about to distribute his belongings among the other monks after his passing away, so there's a little restlessness happened to this little insect. So Buddha prevented the distribution. He said, okay, just leave for 7 days. So after 7 days, this insect again reborn in a favorable place. Now everything's all right. Now the belongings were distributed. Because the death moment priority has given at that moment, unfortunately, to the kind of a desire. And some similar cases are there. For example, say the Queen Mallika. She is a very devoted person and who has organized even the Asadrusha Dana, a kind of a uncomparable kind of a Dana, and so devoted to King Kosala. But there is a little misconduct she has done. Unfortunately, it came to her mind during the death moment. She had to born to a hell realm for a short period. But later again, she was released from that, born to a heavenly realm. So such occasions are there, explained in sometimes. But in general, the situation is the other side. So I have explained just a very few examples. But in general, the things are happening in the proper way. That is, someone is doing some wholesome activities, many wholesome activities. The death moment also happened with that kind of a memory. And then the destination also will be favorable. So that is the typical general rule that the people are generally talking, and that is acceptable. Okay, after all these are mentioned, so basically there are 28 points highlighted here in this possible and impossible. So basically these are very much like eternal laws that they govern in this world, and accepting them, knowing them, what is possible and what is impossible, also help us to get into the proper sila and having some proper understanding, particularly with, from the mundane point of view. But when we into the further practice, then the dittisampanna puggala, that means the one with the right view, has certain probable and improbable, possible and impossible activities. So that is also explained under this. So all these 28 facts explained in this part, therefore kind of a knowledge that we can understand. And by the way, with respect to the dittisampanna puggala, we can actually try as ourselves, because we are also striving, working hard to develop our understanding, to develop the wisdom, and one day we have to be an example to that such kind of a noble person. And if we are into the practice, we can see, we can verify whether still do I have kind of a misunderstanding that the formations are permanent, formations are kind of satisfactory, formations are self, all the everything is a self, at least something is self. Or now I am quite firm that everything is non-self, all the formations are unsatisfactory, and all the formations are transient, impermanent. So do I have such kind of a thorough understanding, a direct knowledge? So that is something that we can verify as ourselves, as practitioners. So after this whole thing was explained, Venerable Ananda was so happy. Acharyam bhante, abhutam bhante. So it is really beautiful. It is really wonderful. It is marvelous. Now he is quite happy. Now he is asking the name for this discourse. And then Buddha mentioned, Bahudhatuko tipi mang dharehi. You better name it as many kinds of elements. Then Chatu parivatto tipi mang dharehi. You better consider it as kind of four cycles. Dhamma dasoti, dhamma adasoti pi nang darehi. The mirror of the Dhamma. You can consider it as a mirror of the Dhamma. Amata dundu bihi pi tang darehi. The supreme victory in the battle. Sorry, the drum of the deathless. You can be considered the drum of the deathless. Then anuttaro sangama vijayoti pi nang darehi. The supreme victory in the battle. You can consider it like that either. So anyway, the sutta was named as the Bahudhatuka Sutta, the many kinds of elements. But Buddha has suggested few other names. The four cycles, the mirror of the Dhamma, the drum of the deathless, the supreme victory in the battle. So basically a fair amount of Dhamma is covered in this sutta. Some are more into the practice, emphasizing that we have to pay attention to these different areas. We have to have some experiential knowledge about these areas, particularly the three first areas, the dhatu, ayatana, and the patisamupada. The last one we need to accept as a kind of a norm, kind of a fact which is governed in this world. Okay, with that I like to conclude today's sutta teaching session and this sutta, Bahudhatuka Sutta. Now I open the session for questions.
Okay, Bhante, there's a written question here.
Yeah.
It says, most respected Bhante, first of all, much merits for teaching a very valuable Dhamma sermon today. If one person is able to clearly identify some problems or issues in the present life due to some past karma, could we propose to do some specific wholesome activities to overcome identified past karma?
Yeah, it is possible. So if one is particularly, properly, correctly understand that something has happened because of the past karma, and to do something opposite, that means assume that someone has become sick, ill, because of some result of the previous bad karma. Now someone has now recognized it properly. Then the opposite can be done. Say he or she got a rash in his herself, and it has happened because of a previous bad karma. Now, instead of that, she is now doing the good activity, like say offering something, giving something, say curing someone else, giving some medicine. So likewise, some appropriate good karma can be done so that the results of the previous bad karma will be very much like nullified. So these things have happened during the Buddha's time. For example, there was a sister to Venerable Anuruddha, and when Buddha approached, they are placed for, I think, for alms giving. So she didn't come forward because she is suffering from a particular illness. Her whole body was covered with blisters or kind of rash kind of thing. And then Venerable Anuruddha informed that to the Buddha. And then Buddha informed him that she better do these good proper activities so that she will be recovered from it. So Venerable Anuruddha informed that to, I think her name is Rohini or someone, I can't exactly remember. And then once she has done that, she has slowly recovered. But the problem is, it's very difficult for us to decide. So Buddha is capable of deciding. So what exactly needs to be done, and a particular result has happened particularly because of this karma. Karma is the main reason. So Buddha is able to do that. But unfortunately, others can't do that. So the karma, the area of the knowledge of karma is very kind of restricted or kind of area where not the others have correct, perfect knowledge. They can do a fair guess, by the way. So that is the main issue. But anyway, there is many good kind of approaches available. Now, if something bad has happened, so taking some good actions, doing some good actions is something always a good approach. So rather than simply feeling defeated and always crying and lamenting, you better do something good so that in case if it has happened because of the bad karma, so if you are doing something good and say some favorable wholesome activities, then definitely there is a favorable impact.
Thank you, Bhante. That's all of the written questions that I have. Does anyone else have a question?
Anything? Nothing. Okay, from our side also there is no any particular question. Okay, then I'll wind up the session because I have to participate in another program conducted by Satipasala today. So I invite Venerable Dhammosada to conduct the sharing of minutes.
I'm very fortunate to be able to listen to this Dhamma today. Much merit to Swami Nohanse for being able to elucidate these suttas. Meritorious deed this is. Therefore, we'd like to extend these merits to our parents, our relatives. May they rejoice in our merit making. May the devas rejoice in our merit making. And may all celestial beings protect the Dhamma and the Buddha Sasana for a long time. And may the fruits of Dhamma, the seeds of Dhamma that we have received, continue growing, producing path, fruition, and Nibbana. I invite you all to join in the recitation of the traditional Pali verses for the sharing of merits. Etavata chamme sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Etavata chamme sambatam punya sampadam sabbe buddha anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Etavata chammehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha cha bhummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu sasanam. Akasattha cha bhummattha devanaga mahiddhika Punyantang anumoditva chiram rakkantu desanam Akasattha chabhummatta devanaga mahiddhika Punyantang anumoditva chiram rakkantu mamparam Nidango nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo Nidango nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo Nidango nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.